in a greedy little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So it's shopping every Sunday at the mall. All we ever want is more.
Good morning and a very good morning, listeners. Welcome to the Monday, November the 24th, 2008 broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are on the web, republicbroadcasting.org, freedomadvocates.org, ozarksvoter.info, and other locations. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. Today we're going to continue our inquiry into the concept of election. We'll go back to B.A. Hinsdale, the American government, look at contract for a moment. We'll go back to Francois Guizot, representation and elections. If we have time, we'll hit the Encyclopedia of Social Sciences and take your calls and much more. I do welcome your calls, your comments, and your questions as they relate to the topics we're discussing at 1-800-313-9443. And as always, I encourage you to listen closely, take notes, access the RBN show archives, download a copy of today's broadcast onto a disc or a CD. And for those without the internet access, you can go directly to RBN by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. And request a copy of today's broadcast on a high-quality studio CD. I'd be glad to send it out for a minor charge. Again, the listener call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. You know, over the weekend, I got the opportunity to get a lot of reading and research done. And while I did so, I was listening to various broadcasts on the Internet, some replays. And I noticed that there was quite a bit of discussion about the successes in all of those 39 different cities across America where we had the End the Fed rallies over the weekend. And at the same time, it was, I hope it would be a wake-up call for those of you that were also listening to those broadcasts that are regular listeners to become vocal local, because as you know, if we have 39 cities, then they perhaps would represent a portion of or some of 39 counties out of the 3,066 counties in America, of which 33 are city counties. So perhaps just those 39 cities that had End the Fed rallies would represent those 33 city counties. And so we have a lot of work to do, don't we? Now, in the roll-up to the End the Fed rally, whether you were getting the information from the various sources, from the promoter, Stephen Vincent, or other places like Restore the Republic, you know, people were talking, some of them, in talking about we would be looking at millions of people turning out. I think that is so disruptive to the group, so damaging, because we don't want to walk around in this world of this irrational fantasy, thinking that we have more number than we have. We know that we had 1.8 million people, I believe, in the presidential election, in the general election, that voted for the third-party candidates. We had 1.3 million that turned out and cast ballots in the presidential preference primary for Dr. Ron Paul, Congressman Paul. So we know that we're dealing with just slightly above, somewhere between 1, maybe 1.5 million total, in total, on that score. And certainly when we listen to the results, we have 1,000 turned out in one city, and I think out in L.A., where the audience was being generated, if you will, by Steve Vincent, the organizer of the End of Fed process, and also G. Edward Griffin spoke there. I think he had some 600 or something listening to Dr. Paul. So there was much out there, folks. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us. This is Become Vocal Local.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Return. Now again, I like to practice political realism rather than political fantasy land. When we think about the turnout across the nation, even doubling numbers, instead of saying 300 in this town or 1,000 out here, even if we were just to go ahead and grant everybody 1,000, there would be 39,000, wouldn't there? If you multiply the 39 cities where the events took place times 1,000, it'd be 39,000. Some of the literature that I received, was talking about how you and I and millions like us will etch our names in history. Certainly, that's a gross overstatement of the anticipated turnouts. But nevertheless, if we think about it from the standpoint of the local voting precinct groups, as we've been talking about here, and county organizers, with 3,066 counties across the nation, and about 175,000 plus or minus, I think it's great plus of that. I think it's closer to 185 or maybe even 190,000 voting precincts. You can see that the number differential will be considerably different. Now, these kind of rallies are great for motivating and activating your membership in these various precinct groups in your county committees. They're great activation tools. They really bring the people out, and it gives people something to do. But the reality of all of this is that, as I said on Friday, today, here we are on Monday, and the Federal Reserve still exists. And the Federal Reserve is going to continue to exist, as will the Department of Homeland Security, as will the Obama Nation, as will all of these various and sundry symptoms. that we're dealing with. And until we get seriously busy and start addressing the disease, we're going to have nothing but a long train of abuses, and it's time to start taking political steps and finding political solutions to these political problems. Now, just on a related note, I received again over the weekend on Sunday at 6 o'clock in my email box, I received a reminder. It says, 7 days left to renew your subscription. Your subscription covering your meetup expired 7 days ago. Unfortunately, if you do not renew your subscription by November the 30th, you will no longer be organizer. So I clicked on the renew my subscription and re-upped the Rocky Comfort Ron Paul 2008 meetup group. Now I've re-upped this thing again 6 months past, again wondering whether there was going to be any continuation of the meetup group system. And certainly we can see that there is a continuation. And I renewed this again out of my pocket simply so that there was a way for others to contact us, a way for us to those of us in our meetup group to contact and communicate one another, and a way to continue the web presence, if you will, of Ron Paul meetup groups, just simply as a congratulation for all of the hard work that others have done along with me in our group, and as a tribute to all of the other meetup groups. It's important to keep these meetup groups on the internet. Folks, we can't find you if you drop out underneath the radar. If you're having a hard time coming up with the money, $72, I know in these days that's a lot of money, 612's, you know, magic number. But nevertheless, if you're having a hard time, there are other places, there are other ways that you can continue this outreach. But there are many also who are reaching in to try and attract all of these groups. It's a fractioning, it's splitting it up. And unfortunately, if you take some different kind of a name, I know we've got Freedom Force International, we've got the area, some XYZ town area Republicans, we've got RTR, Restore the Republic groups, we've got the Campaign for Liberty groups. Folks, a fractioned house like this is going to be very difficult to track and maintain. So we've got much work to do, and I hope that the organizers of the various subgroups that I've just mentioned will work together to try and keep this list together. We had the Ron Paul Meetup Alliance. That's still in existence. There's some things that we need to do, but we need to keep these meetup groups connected so that we can communicate one between the other. Otherwise, it's going to be very, very difficult to keep this movement moving forward. So give it some thought. And if you happen to get a notice in your box, if you are a meetup organizer, or if you're a member of a group, if your meetup organizer is not going to continue the subscription, please consider stepping up to the plate and you becoming the organizer. If you're an assistant organizer and the organizer has lost heart and is stepping down, keep that meetup group up, at least for another 6 months. Sign up again. We'll figure out how we're going to move forward in this, but we don't want to lose all of the contacts that we've made. It's so important because the other side, they're busy using the same tools. They're taking the same tools that we, the organizers of the meetup groups, developed, and they're using them to advance their own causes. That would be the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. You've heard all about Hussein's exposure on Meetup, MySpace, and YouTube, etc. So they're co-opting our system of media, and we need to build a firewall of awareness. We need to expand the knowledge, and we need to point them out for the charlatans and the fraud that they are. Now, having said all of that, to say this, we are going to continue our inquiry into the concept of election today, and I want to go back to B.A. Hinsdale. We're just going through this book. This is The American Government, again, published in 1891. I'm trying to present one paragraph or two at a time so that over the course of broadcasts, we can get a better understanding of what was understood as political science right here in the United States of America, understanding the American government right before the turn of from the 19th century into the 20th. And in this little subparagraph here, it's called The Theory of Contract. Here's what Mr. Hinsdale has to say. The theory of contract, once it was the fashion to say that the state is an artificial product or mechanism. And we can see that it's still fashionable to say that today, isn't it? fashionable to say that the state is an artificial product or mechanism. Continuing, those who held this doctrine reasoned that at first there was no society or government. Men lived in a free, natural condition, everyone doing what he pleased. In this condition, they enjoyed a great many rights and privileges that they could not enjoy when they came to live together in society. For example, men living alone in the forest or in small numbers could safely do a great many things that they could not do living in a town or a city. That remains true today, by the way. But living in this way, men suffered the want of those advantages that spring out of society and government. I'll just stop and jump in on Mr. B.A. Hinsdale here. Many of the people who I've come across in planning commissions and on boards and school boards and things like that here in Southwest Missouri, very rural ranching area, very rural, small towns. A lot of the people that are moving into these areas from bigger cities, they call it white flight. They've come here to the country, so to speak, but they haven't been able to bridge this gap. They haven't been able to make the quantum leap. They have moved to the country, but they've brought their city wants with them. And so they come here looking for hospitals and ambulances, libraries, swimming pools, tennis courts, and all of the various and sundries, recreationals, and this and that, that only large cities offer out of a fraction of their tax revenue. But unfortunately, when you bring those kinds of ideas out into the country with you, comprehensive planning and zoning, hazard mitigation planning, and FEMA, and all of the rest of that nonsense comes with you. You see, you left the city to move to the country, but you forgot to leave the city in the city and find the country as it was. But I'll continue now. He says, but living in this way, men suffered the want of those advantages that spring out of society and government. Hence, they agreed to enter into society and to constitute government. According to this agreement, they surrendered those natural rights that would bring them into conflict with one another. They established certain rules of conduct and appointed officers to enforce these rules. The most celebrated defense of this theory is Rousseau's social contract. And on Friday, we read a little bit about Rousseau and his idea of will. Continuing here, here's the refutation that B.A. Hinsdale offers to this theory. The refutation of this theory, this would be paragraph 15. The truth is, no such contract as this was ever entered into by men, either directly or indirectly. Men live together just as naturally as birds pair and gather into flocks, or as bees live in swarms, and government is a natural and necessary outgrowth of this condition. Thus, society and government, although very simple at first, have existed from the time that the first man and the first woman formed the first family. The first child was born into a community already existing, and he became subject to an authority that he had had no part in creating or administering. And so, it is now, children are born into society and are subject to government from the time that they draw their first breath. I'll stop right here. Over the weekend, a friend of mine sent to me an email PDF file that was written by an article written by Amitai Etzioni. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with Amitai Etzioni is the founder, if you will, of a branch of morbid social government. Nevertheless, I'm coloring it. I'm tainting your understanding. Amitai Etzioni is considered to be the founder of communitarianism. He might be considered the founder of the Communitarian League. Of course, if you listen to the various and sundry broadcasts that are on the independent media network, you're also probably aware of a woman named Nikki Rapana. Nikki Rapana, she formed a group and has a website called the Anti-Communitarian League. So there's this factions and counterfactions here. We'll pick that up on the other side. Stick with us. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
stock market is crazy. The chemtrails are spraying us with their chemicals. It's time to think about what is important. Most forget just how important life is. Life Change Tea removes toxins, chemicals, parasites, and bacteria that store up in your body. It cleanses you and gives you results in hours. And one of the wonderful side effects from this product is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. And on top of that, there's a 45-day money-back guarantee. So why wait? Call now. Operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. I'll say it again. 928-308-0408. Or order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, stock market may crash, but you don't have to go with it.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Now, without taking an enormous sidebar and sidetracking the broadcast in a discussion of Amitai Etzioni and the Communitarian League, I'll simply say that in this particular article, it was about 8 pages, a PDF file that was sent to me by email, and I thank the listener for sending that to me because I need to have this kind of information when I'm not aware of it, because it helps to advance my own studies and things that I can bring out in the future. But Amitai Etzioni, the Communitarian League, if we were to measure true knowledge as planks or lumber, as we talk about here, filling our head with all of this knowledge and becoming lumberhead, so to speak, towering, or you know, with a towering pile of books on our shoulders, one could look at Amitai Etzioni and wonder whether or not he was just packing a bundle of kindling. The man doesn't express himself particularly well, but unfortunately he's gotten the ear of presidents, and much in the along the style of a Bernard Baruch, but not with anywhere near the power. Unfortunately, communitarianism is spreading across the United States, and we need and should be aware of it. Let's go on to this again a little bit more, refuting the Rousseau's social contract theory by B.A. Hinsdale here in his text. This, again, is a political science textbook published in 1891. And so it is now. Children are born into society and are subject to government from the time that they draw their first breath, truth statement. As they grow up, they continue members of the society. They may or they may not assist in carrying on the government, but they never have anything to do with creating the society into which they are born or with originating its government. In other words, we acquire this. We're born into it. No man is ever invited to enter society. No man enters it of his own accord. No man is ever asked whether he will become a subject of government, and no man ever becomes of such of his own choice. A man may choose to live in this society rather than in that society, this or that, or to subject to one government rather than to another. But he must live in some society, and so be under some government, unless, indeed, he becomes a hermit. Hence the rule that a man is bound to render obedience to the government under which he lives. Now, folks, this is historically accurate. It also harkens back to Aristotle. We won't go there today, but we've read similar writings from Aristotle, Lucretius, and others. But still more, Hinsdale continues, men could not come together and frame a social compact unless society, government, and the state already existed. Compacts in plenty are found in political history, but they belong to a considerably advanced stage of social and political progress and never to its beginning. Thus, compact assumes the fact that it seeks to explain. Well stated, Mr. Hinsdale. And remember, when we were looking at federalism and federal, we were talking about a compact, a covenant between the founders, the idea of a federal system in a compact with the states. It is possible that if you, I think, correctly read British or English in history and continental European history, you can see that at various junctures, new governments and new systems were developing, but virtually always and everywhere, men live in societies, much as our author has stated. Here's another section, another concept, if you will. This is paragraph 16 and the final in this particular segment. It says, the theological theory. This theory regards the state as the immediate workmanship of God. The New Testament says government is an ordinance of God and makes it a divine institution. But this language cannot mean that the divine being directly created the particular governments that now exist or that have existed. Government is divine, in our writer's words here, government is divine in the sense that marriage, the family, children, society, and the state are divine. It is a necessary condition of the existence of the human race. God ordained society, government, and the state when he gave man his social nature. And so we can understand that when Aristotle says that man is a political being, it is looking at this nature, this social nature, where when a man cleaves to a woman, and they leave their parents behind and begin to form their own family, that household then becomes a microcosm of a greater society which they interact with. And so it grows from the family. And again, that harkens back to Aristotle. Going over to our history of the origins of representative government in Europe, written by François Guizot in the 1800s, we can pick up one of his lectures, lecture number 10, and start to get a little review and another understanding or another point of view, another point of reference in regards to the nature of representation, that word. And we've studied that in the past. We'll continue studying it in the future because representation is fundamental to understanding our system of government, this constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, which we have, if we can keep it. This is what Guizot says in the opening of... Well, we have to wait until after this break, and then we'll open this chapter.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
1.
The preservation of capital.
2.
Consistent profitability. And
3.
The pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
And we are back. Now, over the weekend, typically Saturdays are very quiet days for me with all of the radio that I'm involved with, you know, 5 days a week here on RBN and listening to other broadcasts and whatnot. I pretty well like to keep my Saturdays as a quiet day for reading, but in the evening I went to the RBN archives, and I encourage you folks to access the archives. There's a lot of broadcasting that goes on that might not fit into your daily schedule, but I listen to and Jim Guest's replay on the off the network archives, and you know I don't know why, but for whatever reason I have seldom mentioned our representative Jim Guest on air, but I want to just give a shout out to Jim. I think his work has been, you know, for the to stop the real ID has been phenomenal, and he's doing a wonderful job working with the young people to energize them in the political system, and I don't, like I said, I don't give him the kudos that I should, because as a fellow Missourian, we have common interests and we share common territory and even have common friends. I haven't met him personally, but I'm well aware of who he is and where he is and the things that he's doing. But nevertheless, Jim's got a good broadcast also on the network on Saturdays, and I encourage you to give him a listen. In addition to that, Mark Lerner, you know, we had a interview here with Mark Lerner, the Stop the Real ID, on this broadcast on Become Vocal Local when we were broadcasting at a later time during the day. And Michael Shaw with Freedom Advocates is pretty well teaming up with Mark Lerner to expand the outreach of that And, of course, Jim Guest and Mark Lerner are familiar with each other and work together. So we've got a lot of things happening. There are a lot of things happening, real concrete changes that are being made, positions that are being set on the chessboard. Let's say we're moving our pieces correctly, and we're starting to really go after the disease rather than worrying too much about the symptoms, and that's important. But nevertheless, there is lots of programming out there, and just again, good morning, Jim. I think you're doing a real good job, and I wish you the best on that Saturday broadcast. You had a lot of callers following the End the Fed rallies, and that was good. And I heard some of the other voices that I've known in this area as well on that broadcast. Now let's go back to François Guizot. This is his lecture number 10. He says, the necessity of inquiring into the political sense of the word representation at the time when a representative government began to be formed. You can understand from that very sentence that we have not always had a representative system of government. And then he's going to continue, and he says, mistaken theories on this subject, Rousseau's theory, which denies representation and insists on individual sovereignty. One of these days we'll take apart individualism and walk through it gently so that we can all understand what individualism is as well. That was the focus of Amitai Etzioni's article. He was refuting the veracity or the validity or the utility of individualism. But Rousseau made a definite attack on it. So perhaps Rousseau and his social contract and Amitai Etzioni's Communitarian League are carrying similar buckets of water. Theories of writers who attempt to reconcile the principle of representation with that of individual sovereignty, erroneous of the idea that sovereignty belongs to the majority, and then the true idea of representation. These are all of the points, the talking points, that are included here in François Guizot's lecture number 10. Let's just start out. He goes, we have studied the primitive institutions of the Anglo-Norman government. We have traced the successive steps in the history of the charters and of the struggle which was carried up by the barons to secure their confirmation by the royal power. But up to this point, we have not seen anything of representative government, period. First, an opening sentence. I hope that would encourage you to perhaps add this book to your library. In one book, you can get all of that. We have, however, continuing, now arrived at the point when this government began to appear. Our attention is now to be called to the creation of a parliament, that is to say, to the birth of a representative system. And as I've stated previously, I believe the first parliament was Iceland and their Althing. I could be mistaken, but I believe that is the first parliament or representative system of government. Of course, we're always focusing on England or France. As we approach this great historical question, a question in political philosophy presents itself before us. And here's the question. What is the true and legitimate sense of this word representation as applied to the government of a community? It is not for us to pass over this question without noticing it. The history of political institutions is now no longer a bare recital of facts. It must rest on principles. It neither deserves the name nor possesses the authority of science till it has sounded and placed in clear light the primary foundation in reason from which the facts which it collects trace their origin. Political history cannot now be otherwise than philosophical, and this is demanded by the stage of human culture which the mind of society has reached. So once again, Guizot is standing upon truth and reason and justice, and here we're making an inquiry into the reason behind the concept or the word representation. He says, now let us suppose a representative government, aristocratic or democratic, monarchical or republican, completely established and in action. If anyone were to ask a citizen of such a state, supposing him to be a man of good sense but unversed in political speculation, here's the question, why do you elect such a deputy? He would answer, because in the consideration of public affairs, I believe him to be more capable than any other of sustaining the cause to which my opinions, my feelings, my interests are allied. Now, wouldn't we today respond in similar ways? Of course, there are some when asked why they would support Hussein or why they would support McCain, would have little to say that they didn't find off the television. But others would look at the candidates, look at what they stood for, and perhaps vote their conscience based upon what their opinions, their feelings, their interests might be allied to. So not much has changed, other than the leaves of the calendar all these past years. Now, continuing, bring this man before the political theorists who have treated of representation. Let his good sense be brought into contact with their systems. Truth would soon be perplexed and obscured by falsities of science. The more we know that we don't know, but certainly the more we know about the concept of representation and election, then certainly the more competent we become, our capacity is increased in our ability to find a replacement set or be that replacement set for this corrupt, tyrannical, despotic duopoly, this established two-party system that has a stranglehold, a jackboot on we the people. One learned gentleman, returning to Guizot here, would thus address him, question, what have you done? You have supplied yourself with a representative. You are no longer free. You are no longer in truth a citizen of a free state. Liberty means a man's sovereignty over himself, the right to be governed by his individual will. And sovereignty cannot be represented just because the will cannot be represented. It is either the same or something entirely different. There is no medium. Who has certified you that your representative will always and on all occasions have the same will as yourself? He will certainly not be so accommodating. So far from then being represented, you have surrendered to him your will, your sovereignty, your liberty. You have given yourself up, not to a representative, but to a master. And why? Because you are an indolent, grasping, cowardly individual who pay far more regard to your own personal concerns than to public matters, who will rather pay for soldiers than go to war, who will rather appoint deputies and stay at home than go yourself and share in the deliberations of a national council. That's argument number one, and it's valid. It's very valid. And how many, listening, are indolent, grasping, cowardly individuals who pay far more regard to your own personal concerns than to public matters, who would rather pay for soldiers than to go to war, who would rather appoint deputies and stay at home than to go yourself and share in the deliberations of a national government? I think there's a little bit of us all in that, isn't there? This is the way in which Rousseau conceives of representation. He considered that it is delusive and impossible, and that every representative government is in its own nature illegitimate. Now, let the same citizen be addressed by other doctors who, entertaining the same ideas of sovereignty and liberty as those held by Rousseau, and nevertheless believe in representation, endeavor to harmonize these conceptions. They might say to him, question, most true. Sovereignty resides in yourself and in yourself alone, but you may delegate it without abandoning it. You do so every day. To your steward, you commit the management of your lands, to your physician, the care of your health, and you place your legal affairs into the hands of your solicitor. Life is vast and complicated. Your personal control is insufficient for all of its activities and demands. Everywhere, you avail yourself of others in the exercise of your own power. You employ servants. This is only a new application of the same principle. You employ one servant or more. If he swerve from your directions, if he fail in giving expression to your will, we grant that he abuses his trust. When you give him your suffrage, you do not surrender to him your liberty. He, on the other hand, in receiving them, has renounced his own. The mandate which he holds from you makes him a slave, while it makes you free. On this condition, representation becomes legitimate, for the person represented does not cease to be a sovereign. Haven't we said public servants? Isn't that the intent of our founders? by taking on the mantle of representative, do they not, in a sense, become our slave, our servant? Now, continuing, third point, what would the citizen say to this? He must make his choice. Such, he is told, is the nature of representation, that in one way or another, whenever he appoints a deputy, he makes someone a slave, either his representative or himself. So it's a two-way. It always is dualism. This was far from his intention. Wishing to live at once in freedom and in security, he connected himself, acting in concert with his fellow citizens, with a man whom he regarded free as well as himself, and whom he judged capable of defending his liberty and ensuring his tranquility. When he gave this man his suffrage, he did not believe he was either enslaving himself or the object of his choice. He thought to enter into a relation of alliance with him, not of sovereignty or servitude. He only did what is virtually done every day by men who, having interests which are identical and not being able to manage number, who appears to be most capable, not being able to manage them individually and directly, entrust them to the individual among their number who appears to be most capable of efficiently conducting them, thus showing that by their confidence, their respect for his superiority, and preserving at the same time the right to judge by his conduct if the superiority is real and the confidence deserved. Regarded in itself, this is the fact of election, neither more nor less. What then is to be said of the theory which comes to be denaturalized in fact, and to give it an import and significance which it never had in its origin, either in the intention of the reason of the parties interested? Lots of words, thoughts to think about. Go back to the archives, listen to it again. The source of all this confusion is to be found in a wrong apprehension of the word representation, and the word has been misunderstood, because false ideas have been entertained regarding sovereignty and liberty. We must therefore revert to the earlier stages of the inquiry. Now, we don't have time today to go into all of the rest of that, but you can see that there are various arguments that make up this concept of election. When we think about the representatives within a representative system of government and our relation one another, between them, are they our servants or are they our slaves? Are we their servants? Have we surrendered our liberties to them? Have they surrendered their liberties to us? Or, as Guizot states in his third way, is this actually a solid relationship, a compact, a covenant between equals? Three different ways of styling it, three different ways of looking. I can see that our time is running out quickly, so I'm going to jump over here and pick up the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences and dive into the middle, or certainly not the middle, but the first third or thereabouts of this long article on election, so that we can understand even more from a more general standpoint. Elections for representatives and for executive and administrative officials differ fundamentally in their implications. Now, see, if we haven't had the opportunity of studying our Constitution, if we don't understand what a representative is, then it's difficult to understand the words in this article. This is why I like to bring as much onto the plate as I possibly can, putting as much as I can, like a smorgasbord, a platter that's overflowing, and here's my two desserts, and here's my ice cream and my coffee. Representatives need not be experts in governmental affairs or specially trained or equipped. Now, be that true or be that false, that is certainly a mantra these days, that we do not have representatives that are necessarily specially trained or well-equipped to discharge their duties. I think that's an error. I think that's an error, especially in the light of the deliberate dumbing down of America. I believe that our representatives should be specially trained, educated, if you will, introduced to higher learning on these topics, so that when they arrive in your state house or your county courthouse, or whether they go to Washington to the big house, that they understand our system of government and are well versed in it, so that they can recognize the pitfalls and the evils of past error and lead us to a better future. but I'll continue here. While it is desirable that legislative bodies contain the leaders of the communities, persons qualified by experience and ability, the bodies should be representative or typical of the mass of the citizens. God help us if that be truth today. If our representatives are typical or representative of the mass of our citizens, we're not just doomed, we're finished. We're going to have to raise the bar here. We'll need to elevate the standard. There was a time in this country when people were well-read, well-versed, but that's not the case today. We'll be back. Stay with us right here on Become Vocal.
Economic collapse is here.
The military is being positioned for martial law.
The mark of the beast is at hand.
Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system.
Having a long-term food solution is your only hope
to stay free.
Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit. 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds.
For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance.
That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds
for a penny per seed.
15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years.
Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis. Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free.
Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com.
That's SurvivalistSeeds.com.
A long-term food solution.
Cartivite is probably the most misunderstood supplement today. Cartivite is packed full of vitamins at cell level to help your whole body function like it used to. Today's diet is lacking in the trace minerals and nutrients our body needs to maintain our good health. Get the toxins and heavy metals out and allow your body to do the job God intended. Made for the heart, Cartivite helps in so many other ways. So order your 4-month special of either the capsules or tincture for just $125 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. That toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. Cartivite, circulation for life.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Yeah, we have returned on this, the shortest segment of today's broadcast and final. The function of these representatives then, their function is to control legislation and governmental affairs in line with the wishes of the majority of their citizens. One of the great advantages to having had taken the opportunity or had the opportunity to do extensive reading on a variety of subjects is to be able to look into certain articles like this and certain writings like this and see the propaganda coming in, creeping in, and understanding that the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences was funded in part by the Rockefellers and the Carnegies. and that these writings were designed to raise up a generation of new leaders, new politically conscious, new social scientists, if you will, the super social scientists, as I've spoken of so many times in the past, then you would have to anticipate that salted in amongst such wonderful writing, and there's plenty of it, that there's going to also be this corrosive line of corruption, if you will, as we move further into this social democracy and the mass party model of socialism and communism, which basically is collectivism or globalism, or you could also call it the corporate public-private partnership, corporate fascism, which we face today. So when we talk about their function is to control legislation and governmental affairs in line with the wishes of the majority of the citizens, one has to ask, is that the truth? In the election of executive and administrative officials, the voter is not called upon to select someone to represent him, but rather to pass judgment upon the ability, integrity, and qualifications of the several candidates for each office. And in some of the meetup groups that I have joined myself to and associated with, there's been much conversation recently in not the chat rooms, but in the email box, email chatter, in regards to Hussein Obama. And the discussion has, in many cases, come around to this idea of the ability, the integrity, and the qualification of the several candidates which were presented for us. Are they even qualified? Are they even citizens? Are they natural born or not? What is their ability? Do they have integrity, etc.? As continuing here, especially in modern society where the function of government have grown very technical, special qualifications for these offices have become increasingly important. The average voter is not in a position to make such choices wisely and is forced to rely upon the recommendation of his party leaders, listen carefully, his newspaper, a civic organization or voters league, or upon mere hearsay and rumor. And I might have to add that the party leaders propagate hearsay and rumor, the newspaper propagates hearsay and rumor, the civic organizations too often propagate hearsay and rumor. The voters' leagues, that used to be the League of Women's Voters, oft times propagate hearsay and rumor, or upon mere hearsay or rumor. So you take your hearsay and rumor any way you want. But again, here, there is a certain amount of validity in this statement that the average voter is not in a position to make such choices wisely. How could they? Folks, you've been listening to Become Vocal Local. We're taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. My name is William Roberts. I do thank you for listening, and until the next time, good day.